Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Shalom, Raleen Marks. Great to chat to you. It's been too long.
Shalom. I'm not going to comment on that song, but I am going to say reunited and it feels so good. But I have to take some issue with you, Simon. What is this talk about Cancerians? I am married to a Cancerian and I have to tell you, they are wonderful and make the most wonderful cooks. My father's a Cancerian. My best friend is a Cancerian. My late mother was a Cancerian. As an Aries, I'm surrounded by them. I love the Cancerians.
All right. I'm going to quit while I'm ahead. And we're going to talk about these amazing visuals that are coming out in the Israeli press of your foreign minister in Manama, which is just, it's goosebump stuff.
It is goosebump stuff. You know, as they say, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. We've just had a meeting between our foreign minister, Yair Lapid, who is in Manama, in Bahrain, on a historic first visit. He has just concluded a meeting with His Majesty King Hamad bin Isa Al Khalifa. He is the king of Bahrain. Earlier today, he met with the Crown Prince of Bahrain, and an extraordinary meeting. Memorandums of understanding or agreement were signed, including between Sheba Hospital and Mekawot, which is our national water carrier. But the foreign minister is in Manama to inaugurate our embassy. So can you believe, I mean, it's just extraordinary that we are talking about this, that, you know, this is the second embassy we will be opening in the Gulf states, the first being in the United Arab Emirates and now in Bahrain. And well, what's even more exciting is that earlier today, in fact, about an hour or so ago, the first direct inaugural flight of Gulf Airways, is the official airline carrier of the Kingdom of Bahrain, made its maiden journey from Manama to Tel Aviv, landing in Ben Gurion Airport. So it is on, people. The direct flights have started. If you want to visit Bahrain from Israel, Israel from Bahrain, it's all up and running. A really, really beautiful, beautiful moment today.
We didn't plan on talking about this, but it's kind of so related, just in terms of the fact that you live in such a complicated part of the world, because we've spoken about something uplifting and marvelous, which you've just described, and then today in the Times of Israel, a report that the 300 Iraqis who called for relations with Israel sometime last week have now, due to death threats, been forced to recant.
Well, this was also quite extraordinary when it broke, news that at least 300 prominent Iraqis from both the Sunni and the Shiite camps, and including a tribal leader and a minister in the government, calling for a peace with Israel, saying they want to enter into the Abraham Accords, the growing Abraham Accords, the Circle of Peace, as we call it, and sadly having to recant that because of death threats. We know that there were warrants of arrest out for the minister and the tribal leader who were part of this group of Iraqis. But you know what? Just the fact that that subject was raised in Erbil in Iraq, was raised, that gives me hope. That tells me that at least any seeds out there for peace are beginning to take root.
Let's talk about Prime Minister Bennett's speech at the UN. What did he have to say?
Oh, let's, because you know what? All eyes were on the Prime Minister. You know, every year we have this UNGA, the United Nations General Assembly. It's the Super Bowl of speeches. It's where all the world leaders who are member states come to talk about various issues. Cyril Ramaphosa was there. President Biden opened up the proceedings. And on Monday, just before the end of Sukkot, our Prime Minister with his kippah perched on his head. And, you know, he came in without any props. But I did notice him turning the back of his head to the camera several times. And my takeaway of that was, I am a Jewish Prime Minister representing the Jewish state of Israel, standing in the United Nations General Assembly speaking to you all. So let's dissect the speech. very, in my opinion, a very humble in party, opened up his speech talking about how we have reclaimed our sovereignty, our ancient land, our ancient language, that we are a beacon of light in a neighborhood that's often filled with darkness and violence. He went on to speak about his coalition government, and I had a sense that he was almost talking to a very different audience than Netanyahu would have been. You know, the UN GA was Bibi's real house. This is where, you know, he really was, you know, king of the room, and very, very hard or tough act to follow. Whether you like or loathe Netanyahu, you can't detract from his talent as a speaker. But I got the sense that Bennett was talking to a different generation. I think he was talking to the more liberal, more woke, because he raised several comments. He said that, you know, in our country, in our government, we have the most diverse in its history, and we come to the table with different opinions, different ideas, and different ideologies, he says, and we argue and we debate and we discuss, but it's all good. He really drove that message home that, it's okay to have a diverse opinion, yeah, that polarization, and he talked about polarization by the left and the right, is not healthy, it's not good. He spoke about how Israel is dealing with the coronavirus, how we are leading with the booster shots. He said even though the FDA hadn't approved and we had to make the controversial and difficult decision. He did not mention Palestinians at all, which many pundits are saying, you know, it's a missed opportunity. But I think that he wanted to present an Israel that shouldn't always be seen as grouped with the Palestinians. You know, if you kind of understand where his head is at. He had very, very harsh warnings for Iran. And he said, words do not stop the centrifuges from spinning. He spoke about the threat that Iran poses, not just to the region, but to the world, also acknowledging their proxies, Hezbollah, various groups in Syria, Hamas, to the south. And then he said what to me was the most fantastic line. You know, he acknowledged the relationship between the United States. He thanked the 38 countries who did not participate in Durban 4. He thanked the Congress who voted overwhelmingly to fund the Iron Dome and for $1 billion. And he, you could get a sense, in fact, I certainly did, that he was talking directly to the squad when he said, hating Israel does not make you woke. And I really felt that he was, even though they weren't present in the room, he knew exactly where he was aiming some of his comments, because he knows that they would have been watched. Sadly, major news networks like CNN didn't cover it. He doesn't seem to have the status with them that his predecessor does. But all in all, I thought a very humble in places, very firm and authoritative in places, and also very, very optimistic in places.
And I love the fact that he's putting in, he's handing out an olive branch to the American Jewish community, which is so important not to lose, which Bibi seemed to be well on his way to doing.
Well, this is exactly that. He certainly, and somebody said to me, aren't we fighting a lost cause with the Democrats? No, not at all. It is a priority of our government to improve and to mend the relationship with at least the Democratic faction within the United States. And he also very importantly spoke about the incredible peace that we are seeing take flight quite literally in the Middle East, with the UAE, with Jordan, Egypt, Morocco, and Bahrain. He did not mention the Sudan, but just days before, the Sudanese had stated they want a formal signing ceremony like the other countries had. So, you know, here's hoping and here's looking at where we're going next.
Let's, we have to talk about this. Babi Yar, was it the anniversary recently?
Well, yesterday and today, we mark 80 years since the massacre at Babi Yar. And it's important that we speak about Babi Yar. This was the largest massacre that took place during the Holocaust. This was the Holocaust by bullets, and on the 29th and 30th of September 1941, Jews of the city of Kiev were rounded up by the Nazis, marched to a ravine on the edge of the city, and nearly 34,000 Jewish men, women, and children were systematically just wiped out because they were Jewish. It's an incredible crime on a massive, massive scale, one that for many, many years did not have any commemoration, any memorial, because the Soviets did not want to acknowledge the particularly Jewish nature of this because of the nature of communism at that time. But it is so important that we speak about Babi Yar, that we know about Babi Yar, and that we commemorate Babi Yar.
Rolene Marks, we didn't do half of what we intended to do this afternoon. We both knew that was going to be the case. Thank you. Can't wait to have you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday next week.
Oh, it's a date, and I'm looking so forward to it.